Good morning. Welcome. This is Ephesus Baptist Church. This is God's house, the house He's provided for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. It is indeed a pleasure to be back. And while I was recuperating, and still am to a certain extent, I thought about a lot of things involving our church. But one of the main things was the family life building and all the hurdles we've had with that, and dealing with the contractor and dealing with the building inspector and dealing with the state people. And I began to get a little depressed. So I thought, well, I won't think about that. I did work some on the building while I was at home with Wes and attorney, and Wes has been so kind about keeping me up to date and kind of taking over where I was kind of a liaison between the attorney and the committee, and he's done that, and I appreciate that. And so I said, well, I'm not going to think about that. The Lord has taken that in His hands, and, you know, we'll prevail one way or the other, and we'll have that building. Then I got to thinking about my hip, and thinking about how long it's been since I had surgery. And I got discouraged about that. So I thought, well, maybe I ought to preach on discouragement and how to defeat it. So I'm going to try to use Jeremiah as an example to show how we can get discouraged and how we can defeat it. And this morning's text comes from the fourth chapter of Jeremiah. Nehemiah, is that this is when the Jews returning from exile in Babylon. It's been 100 years, but some of them are starting to come back in larger numbers. And they've come back to Jerusalem, and the wall has been virtually destroyed. The gates have been torn down. The various gates around the wall have been torn down and done away with. And Nehemiah, who was leading the efforts to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem, found out that it was a daunting and difficult challenge, which led to the discouragement of many of those rebuilding the wall. You know, the replacement of my left hip was much more involved than the replacement of my right hip last year. And it presented quite a challenge to me. It was in terrible condition, and as you know, my recovery has been at least 3 weeks longer now than last time. And several times during these past weeks, I have become discouraged. But I thought about the fact that discouragement should not stop us from believing in God. We just have to consider it as a little bump, a little speed bump in the road of life, a little hiccup along the way, because all of us should overcome discouragement for the glory of God. Now, discouragement is one of the tools that Satan uses to defeat us. All of us, even the most gifted and strong men and women of God, experience discouragement from time to time. And our sermon topic is defeating discouragement, which enters our life. And for many here at Ephesus Baptist Church, 2011 has started stressfully and has produced discouragement in their lives. Discouragement is a feeling of hopelessness and helplessness which envelops many people at different times in their lives. Discouragement is not a sin. It is not even an indication that we are in a state of sin. But we must be careful that we do not allow discouragement to affect our spiritual life and our spiritual growth as we walk with the Lord. Now, Nehemiah was one of the best leaders and motivators for God of all times. And he teaches us in this chapter 4 how to battle discouragement. But first, I want us to look at some of the reasons for discouragement. And I want you to think of those times when you were discouraged. There are many of you here who have had surgeries, as I have, who have had surgeries more severe than I, who have had little roadblocks in the road, as I call them, little speed bumps. So I think you can recognize some of these causes of discouragement. One of the causes of discouragement is fatigue. When I was doing, or when I am doing, even today, when I'm doing my physical exercises, my physical therapy, I tend to get fatigued. I do it twice a day, once in the morning. I try to do it in the afternoon or after dinner. And when you become tired, it's difficult to deal with life's issues. Now, as we go along, I'm going to read certain verses of chapter 4 of Nehemiah, and I want you to follow along in your Bible, and we just pray that God will add his blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of the Word. And the first verse I want you to look at is verse 10. The first part of that verse says, "Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers is giving out." Those people who are trying to build the wall are becoming tired. They're becoming fatigued. And when dealing with life's issues, we become tired. We are all human. Some of us may be able to endure the fatigue longer and not let it affect us as quickly as others. But we become discouraged. And if we do, look and see if fatigue is one of the causes or is the cause of your discouragement, because we may not need to change our goal or our work. We just may need to take a break from it. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do when you're working for the Lord is to take a break from that task. And think about that. When I'm tired of the exercise, my leg is hurting, my other leg's beginning to hurt, I can take a break and an hour later go ahead and finish the exercises. So fatigue can be a cause of the discouragement. Just taking a break can help. A second cause of discouragement is frustration. Look again at verse 10. We're going to go even further in that verse. "Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers is giving out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall." Nehemiah tells us, records in his book, that there is so much rubble, it is hindering the rebuilding of the wall. And the question becomes, do we have rubble in our life? Have you ever noticed that any time we start a new project, that trash begins piling up? And if we do not clean up that rubble periodically, it will stop the progress of whatever task we are trying to accomplish. We can't avoid rubble, so we need to recognize it and dispose of it quickly. And by doing so, we don't lose focus on our original intent, our original goal for working for the Lord. Rubble is the trivial thing that crops into what we're doing. It's when you've got the big picture, and then you get to arguing about, well, you know, what size light bulbs are we going to put in? You know, is that green color really the green we want to paint the nursery? You know, things that we need to just treat as not being the most important things, and don't let them sap our time and our energy. Don't let it prevent us from what God has called us to do. Get rid of the rubble, get rid of the trivial thing, and move on. A third cause of discouragement Nehemiah points out is failure. Again, that verse 10 says, there's so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. Nehemiah's people were not finishing their task as quickly as they had hoped, as they had planned, and as a result, their confidence is beginning to collapse. They're beginning to make excuses for why they can't finish. But when we don't reach a goal on schedule, what do? We should set a new goal. We should reorient our efforts towards a new goal and attempting to fulfill that. We should not accept defeat. Everybody fails. Everybody acts foolishly. And the issue is not that we fail. The issue is, how do we respond in our failure? Do we resort to self-pity? Do we start blaming others? Do we complain that the task is impossible? And I'm thinking of these questions and relating them to my experience. You know, I wanted to figure out how to blame Connie, and I couldn't do that. And I wanted to say, well, the exercises are too hard that the therapist gave me. And I knew that wasn't true because we had gone over them. He had shown me how to do them. He had told me they were going to be difficult in the sense that my leg was sore and that they were not going to be pleasant to initially do. So I had to refocus on my goal, just like we have to refocus on God's intentions and then begin to move forward again. Don't let failure be the roadblock that stops us. When we fail proceeding down this track, just reevaluate and go another way. A fourth cause of discouragement is fear. Nehemiah in verses 11 and 12 says, also our enemies said, before they, talking about the Jews building the wall, before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and kill them and put an end to their work. Then the Jews who lived near them came and said and told us 10 times over, wherever you turn, they will attack us. Nehemiah, I believe, is suggesting that the people most affected by fear are those who hang around negative people. If we are to control the negative thoughts in our life, we must get away from negative people. Again, permit me to use my situation as an example. Connie has been nothing but supportive and telling me, you can do it. You know, this is not too hard. You can do these exercises. Suppose she'd have said, yeah, I agree. You know, you're just not going to ever be able to do them. You'll probably have to limp the rest of your life, and you shouldn't have had the surgery anyway because now it's not done any good. Naturally, I'm going to begin to fear taking that step, setting that goal of having surgery and being able to walk without a limp. So maybe we are discouraged because of fear, and fear will destroy your life if you will allow it. But we must pray to God to help us take our eyes off the negativity which produces discouraging circumstances and keep our eyes on Him. Well, now, what does Nehemiah say are the remedies for discouragement? One remedy for discouragement is reinforcement from believers, and that's where you guys come in. So many of you sent me uplifting cards, called me. You didn't say, well, we're pretty sure you're not going to make it, and your surgery's not going to do you any good. You uplifted me. You encouraged me when I was becoming discouraged. And Nehemiah says, here's what he did. to use the believers of the Lord. He says, therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest portions of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. So now he is using the believers to protect, some of the believers to protect the other believers who are working on the wall. You know, Moses was the greatest leader of Israel, handpicked by God, and he became suicidal, if you remember. He said, just go ahead and kill me. I cannot get it done. I cannot get these people out of the wilderness. And God's solution for Moses' discouragements was, he says, you get 70 of the elders to come with you to the tent of meeting. And he said, there I will take part of the Spirit from you and place it upon their shoulders, upon them, and then they will be motivated to help you do what I've asked you to do. They will help you carry the burden of the people of Israel so that you will not have to carry it alone. We don't need to do everything alone and to become discouraged. Quite often, that's what happens to us. And don't get me wrong, I was like that 100%, and I'm probably like that 50% now. You know, I want to do it myself, and I'd rather do it than delegate. It takes too long to tell somebody how to do it. Let me do it. And then you end up getting discouraged because we always need somebody to help us and to work things out. A second remedy for discouragement is to request help from God. We've talked about calling upon fellow believers, but we go to God in prayer. And when we're discouraged, especially, we should go to God in prayer. Nehemiah verse 9, chapter 4. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Remember Joshua, one of the greatest generals handpicked by God to lead Israel into the promised land. And he wanted to quit after he was defeated at the Battle of Ai. But during this time of discouragement, Joshua talked to God and prayed. And prayer is the best antidote to discouragement. He got back that drive, that feeling, and accomplished what God wanted him to accomplish. A third remedy for discouragement is revitalization from God. Remember that God is great. God is awesome. Find rest in God and be refreshed by his word and his presence. Nehemiah did this in verse 14. He says, after I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of their people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your home. Pray to God. Let him invigorate you. Let him revive you. Have that revitalization in your goal to serve him. A fourth remedy for discouragement is repositioning. This sounds relatively too simple, but believe me, it can work. When discouraged, reposition yourself from a position of doubt and defeat to a position of faith and victory. And you can only do this by changing your stance on an issue or on an event. You either stand on the word of God or you stand on your doubt. And you can imagine which one is going to help you accomplish your goal. Standing on the word of God. Changing your stance on an issue. And Nehemiah did that. Look at verse 16. From that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armor. The officers posted themselves behind all the people of Israel. Instead of being dogmatic and hard-headed and saying, I'm going to keep all the people working on the wall, even if we keep having some killed, so we can finish this wall, he repositioned himself. He repositioned the stance he took. He put half the people working on the wall and the soldiers and nobles and officers protecting them behind them as they worked. When Job lost everything, what did he do? He wished he were dead. He didn't want to live. He became suicidal and extremely depressed and discouraged. And how did he come out of the discouragement? He changed positions. He went from a posture of self-pity to a posture of praying for his friends. And Job tells us in chapter 42, verse 10, that after Job prayed for his friends, the Lord made him prosperous again and gave him twice as much as he ever had. Job changed from crying and whining and complaining to praying for his friends who were in need, to asking God to help them. And this changed him from a person of discouragement to a person of positivity. A fifth and final remedy for the discouragement is reflection. When we're discouraged, we need to meditate and reflect on the Lord and on His Word. Don't have that knee-jerk reaction that we so often have, me included. You know, that right away, no, I'm going to do this. No, I can't do that. I'm going to do it this way. We've got to reflect on God's love and His power, and we must look to Him because He will fight for us. Nehemiah tells us that in verse 20. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us. As I said, often our discouragement is just due to short foresight. We got that knee-jerk reaction. We don't go to God. We don't look at His Word. We don't reflect on His Word. We don't pray to Him. We don't call on believers to help us. We just plow ahead with the first thoughts that come in our mind. But spending time reflecting and meditating in the Word of God will help us. God can illuminate our hearts and minds about His purposes and what He wants us to do and the plans He has for our lives and how we can accomplish them. And He can do that if we reflect and meditate. God promises to renew our strength and to take away our discouragement if we'll just wait and reflect on Him. It's hard to do, I know. Even though I stand up here as the pastor of this church, I'm subject to the same pitfalls as each and every one of you. But we just have to remember, once we start becoming discouraged, that we got to call upon the Lord and other believers and be patient, study His Word, and pray to Him. And if you would like to have someone like that to help you during your discouragement, and you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today is the day to do that. Just think about it. To have someone on your side that can give you the guidance, to give you the instructions on how to overcome those little speed bumps in life that we call discouragement. Those little unusual turns in the road that kind of take us aback. If you would like to have that type of help available to you 24/7, we invite you to accept Christ as your Savior as we sing our hymn of invitation, number 295.